It farted! It farted!
Faint.
I didn't actually faint, though, but I might as well have.
This is the Order of Battle. Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
This is awesome! I was super excited. And when Dad had told me we'd also gotten the second stretch goal, Nightforce Ripcord, I went ballistic. Okay, I didn't go ballistic, but I was super excited. When the Kickstarter ended and Dad told me we didn't get the third stretch goal, I was like, no! Because I really wanted that deck crew. We have needed a deck crew for a while. Contents. Missile cart. Fuel cart. Sand. Missiles. Jet. Two seats with parachutes and blast effects. Jet engine blast effects. Co-pilot Wayne. Flight suit Scarlet. Ace. Cobra Commander. Cobra Trooper. Cobra deck crew. And Night Force Ripcord. G.I. Joe stickers and Cobra stickers. Wait, I just realized, is there going to be file cards? I'm excited to see that Cobra deck crew. Because we've never had any form of deck crew ever. So, I'm excited to see that deck crew. We've needed a Flight Suit Scarlet for a while. And I like that blue they did it in. Night Force Ripcord. Which I personally think should have been the third stretch goal. I like the box art, but I don't think they ever showed the back of the box, so I don't know if they have file cards or not. So, that's going to be fun to find out.
I had a interesting week in chasing the IDW Classic Trades. I secured 12 and 14, which I was actually able to order directly from my comic shop at sticker price, or list price, I should say.
Which is a miracle for those at this point.
Which leaves me with needing four trades. 10, 11, 13, and the dreaded 15. To sound like a broken record from the last time we talked about the trades when I bought 9, the prices have even greatly increased from then till now. I did some poking around, and I can get all but 15 on Amazon for various degrees of, like, you snooze, you lose prices.
The whole set has become really uncomfortably expensive. It used to be fairly attainable outside of 9 and 15.
I mean, just for a range, like, I'm looking at somewhere probably between $400 and $500 to get those four books, if I'm lucky.
Holy shit.
If I can find 15. eBay is scarce. Like I said, Amazon has 3 as of last week. I mean, they're very expensive. Only one is under the triple-digit price range, and it's close. It's not that far off.
That's wild.
Once I moved and once Christmas is over and once I kind of get a handle on what we need for the house and where I'm at with the basement build, I just have to do it. I'm just going to, whatever they cost, I'm going to buy them.
That's how I've been feeling about the McFarlane one-shot. At some point, I'm just going to have to bite the bullet. As you put it, the you snooze, you lose price has gone through the roof. But I like that you're close to the end of this project.
It's so stupid because 2 years ago, I could have got everything. The only one that would have been over $100 was 15. The easiest way to put it is what I said. You snooze, you lose. It's you put it off, you put it off, you put it off, and then all of a sudden, IDW is allegedly losing the license or whatever it may be. It's Christmas time. Every time there's a boost in G.I. Joe popularity, there's always a boost in trying to collect the old comics. And I get what I get. Through all this, a buddy of mine turned me onto a comic shop here in town that is only open 2 days a week. Very peculiar hours. He's like an old hippie dude. He's very nice.
That sounds like the best kind of shop.
Well, it's only going to get better. So I went in there, and I kind of knew what to expect based on what my buddy said, but no Joe books, period. But I'm digging through this guy's shelves, and everything that he has in that shop is sold at cover price.
And this is used? This is vintage stuff?
These are brand new, dead stock comics. For instance, like a complete buffoon, I'm talking to you about stressing about buying these comics and spending money on these trades. I go into this comic shop and I spent $156 or something on a huge pile of books.
It was a sexy pile of books.
To highlight this shop, I got a collection, like the first run of the Phantom from 1934 or 1936. It's a little trade book from 1982 that I paid $5.95 for.
That's incredible. And that's going to be great with your, was it Boss Fight that was doing the Phantom figures?
Yes.
Are those in hand yet?
No.
But when they are in hand, you're already going to have the backdrop in the books for them.
Yes. There is a NECA figure and now a second NECA figure. The Boss Fight ones, they showed some test shots this week.
Ooh. So this was clear on your mind when you walked in that shop then?
Yeah, I was gunning. What's funny is my buddy who turned me onto the shop is a huge Phantom head, but he collects like the daily strips, the big hardcover odd-shaped books, and he's like, this guy didn't have any of that stuff because my buddy probably bought them all. I grabbed a bunch of Flash Gordon books. I got a hardcover signed. It was one particular guy's run from 1950 to 1953. This book is from 1988, no UPC. I got it for $25. It is a hardcover, dead stock from 1988 that's signed and numbered. And I'll tell you, it's worth a significant amount more than $25.
Of course you're not going to pass on that. That sounds amazing. Now I want to see this shop. You know how I am with books.
I was thinking about you the whole time I was in there because I was like, I got to get him up here and he's got to come to this shop because it is... It's just crazy. I grabbed a bunch of Flash Gordon books. You know, I got Flash Gordon figures coming. I love the movie. The comics are a huge zone that I have no information on. And these are like, I got a book from a collection of the 1950s, a collection of the 1930s or 40s. I got two little one-shot books, or two collection books from, I think, 1940s, where it was like the entire daily run from one artist. And then I bought this... Another oversized book from 2009 that was just a huge... I don't know exactly what it is, but it's some old content that was cleaned up, repressed in this giant oversized book in 2009. The shop owner was so pleasant and so cool, and it was like funny because we walked in, he told us where everything was, and he said, if you don't see what you're looking for, throw it at me, and I'll tell you which area to look in. And I thought he was like kind of just tailing us and watching us. And I was like kind of getting frustrated because I'm just like, well, man, if you're going to like shadow me around, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to leave. And I turn around and he was just sitting, just tapping his toes, reading comic books. I just happened to be looking in the section that was directly in front of where his chair is that he reads comic books. It was truly like just an absolute dream of a shop. I'm hoping to go and find reasons to spend money there, even though like I'm pretty much snagged up most of what I was interested in one shot.
That's the best kind of shop. I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I definitely want to check that out. Most of the last few weeks for me has just been pre-orders coming in, so I haven't been hitting the streets hard lately. But as we were winding down on the Sky Striker, I started thinking about all of these pre-orders coming in and what's left. And I did something I should have done years ago. I sat down and I made a spreadsheet of the pre-orders that I have out there pending. Target and Hasbro Pulse, HasLab, eBay, of course, but then also like Kickstarter, Amazon, just anything that's outstanding. And then, you know, for things like Hasbro and Big Bad Toy Store and Mezco, you know, a lot of those places aren't charging you until it's ready to ship. So not only what am I waiting on, but what's waiting to come out of my pocket? So I put this big spreadsheet together and it's a little eye-opening. It's also good to see it all there and I can just check things off as going forth. But honestly, I have always treated Kickstarter and by that I mean I've backed 213 projects on Kickstarter.
Damn.
I've always treated Kickstarter as a set it and forget it pre-order system. Granted, it's Kickstarter, so not 100% has come through. I don't back video games anymore for that very reason. But a good 85 to 90% has completed. Some of the Amazon stuff's the same way, you know, as I'm pre-ordering like Star Wars novels and trades. That gets dangerous whenever you start getting into the BBTS and Mezco of things where they only took out a upfront percentage or none at all, which is why I love, you know, HasLab does like Kickstarter and pulls it out right away. But having this in front of me was very eye-opening for how much, you know, even though I'm not actively hunting right now, lots coming.
One of the Star Wars guys I follow kind of did the same thing. Apparently, I think between Black Series and Vintage Collection, there is like 75 figures on pre-order.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I don't know that I have 75, but I have a good 60-ish entries that span between, you know, Umbrella Academy, Mezco, a couple Kickstarters here or there, a couple Star Wars books, a lot of classified G.I. Joe, the O-Ring stuff. There's a good spread. It's not 75 just Black Series, though. That's pretty wild.
I recently kind of did that just on my Big Bad Toy Store and kind of specifically just on Acid Rain. And I really hope that the releases stay staggered the way they're supposed to because I have a lot of money set aside in Acid Rain pre-orders. And Acid Rain stuff is boutique-y. It's expensive. They have some big items coming that cost a lot of money. I'm with you. I looking down the barrel of pre-orders is like very dangerous, very eye-opening, very like gut punch.
It is sobering. In looking at that, there is a bunch of Retro Fresh and a couple more Battle for the Star Dio sets that I'm pausing on. And even when I was looking at those dial sets, I saw this awesome Subway dial set for 6-inch that I sent you a picture of. I was like, ooh, I'm tempted. But no. Must wait. But coming back around to Kickstarter, and the last time we talked, I've actually had time to read the Action Force book from Lennon and Hickey. Dude, that book is good. I mean, I'm rubbing it in, I know.
Hey. You know, I'll bring it back to you snooze, you lose. I forgot to back it. I was stressed about money. And here I am.
The way they organize that book is really kind of neat. You know, they go into the history of Palitoy, and then they go into the year-by-year of the figures, which I thought it spanned a much broader time frame, but it really didn't. You know, G.I. Joe came in and took over fast. But after it went through the year-by-year of figures, then it started talking about the comics, and then it started talking about all of the creators of the toys and of the comics, and there's interviews and little bios of all these different people. The whole book is filled with great clips from the comic book art, and that art was so good. I definitely want to read Battle Action Force now, which I know I can read most, if not all of it, on the Blood for the Baron website. So I just need to sit down and do that at some point. But after that, they go into this section. I haven't finished the book yet, but I'm currently in the section where they're going team by team and giving you, you know, the bio cards for each of the named figures and troops.
That's the section right there that really, really breaks my heart that I didn't buy the book.
Oh, man, it's so good. And something I didn't know, the SAS has 3 former criminals on the team.
That's so sick.
It's so good. I'm not too far from finishing the book. I've been busy or else I would have finished it by now. I've only been able to put about 30 or 40 minutes a day into reading, which is significantly less than what I find calming and enjoyable. But I can tell you I've not rushed this book. I am chewing every bite slowly, and I don't know, man. This book is kind of perfect. If this is the quality that we can expect out of this team, I'm even more looking forward to the RoboSkull Mark II book. Even though I don't collect Resolution or Vitruvian Hacks, I kind of want those books. And by kind of, I mean I want those books.
You and me both, brother.
These gentlemen have done well.
Those two particular guys are diehard fans of the brand. Everything that they've done, every time that they've been on the Full Force, like, it is a treat listening to those guys talk. Hearing about the book Total Retaliation back, like, right after it came out, I mean, I was a little late with getting up to that episode of the old school What's on Joe Mind. Like, listening to them talk about building the dios for the photos and, like, listening to, I believe Brian Hickey is the photo guy, and listening to him talk about, it was like a family affair. Like, he built one of the dios in his backyard with running water and had one of his kids, I believe, like, dump a pail of water down so that the water moccasin could be in motion in the photo.
Wow.
I'm really bummed that I missed this book, and I guess maybe I'll have to set an alert on eBay and maybe I'll get lucky.
So speaking of the dio pieces in this book, the ways they've set things up is just, you forget they're toys for a moment. They have a few SAS guys coming out of a helicopter, and it doesn't look like he's using the same guy three times. It's awesome. Then there's another dio where Baron Ironblood is like looking through a frosted glass at a bunch of scientists working on bringing a few mutons to life. You're looking at it and it's beautiful and it has all these gribbly bits all over it. And then just because I'm staring at this photo so intensely and trying to pick out all the details, I start to notice the cardboard waviness. And I just laughed out loud. I was like, this is incredible. You know, I'm buying dio pieces off Big Bad Toy Store, and this man took cardboard and turned it into a real-life laboratory.
That's it. I mean, that is truly the power of a good photograph, is you can look at a photo for 10 minutes straight and then be like, holy shit, that's a piece of cardboard painted blue. I spent hundreds of dollars on dio sets, and this is a piece of cardboard painted blue.
These guys, they just smash. It's so good.
I hope that eventually I can find a copy of this book. I mean, the bio pages alone is like, I love that shit. I love, like, that would lead me down to just build as many of these figures as I possibly could.
It's definitely something that is softly and constantly sweet-talking in my ear. For now, my wallet has to keep rolling saves.
Speaking of rolling saves in the wallet, I think we should probably address the, you know, massive G.I. Joe news of the Sky Striker.
We left that to Alexander, but yes, you know how excited I was about this. You know, I've been through, as I said, a lot of Kickstarters. I've seen the middle slump, even the backpedaling a little bit, and then that last bump. Everybody's already talked about it. Everybody's talked about, you know, how bad it would have been if it didn't fund, how good it was that it did. And we were texting numbers back and forth with Anything Joe's, and we were having a blast watching the numbers go up. I know you were disappointed that it wasn't 4-inch modern compatible, but in the end, did you back it?
I backed it for two.
Backed it for two. Same. I wanted to back it for more, but I couldn't.
It doesn't matter if it's O-ring or 4-inch. That jet is going to look awesome on a shelf. I can pose it so it looks like it's flying. It's an expensive statue, essentially, is what I'm getting at here, you know. But, like, you know, I didn't want to miss out. And honestly, if it lands on my door and I open them up, or I open up one of them and I'm just, like, not into it, then I'll bless someone up with a great deal on some Sky Strikers so I can break even.
The Sky Striker is my vehicle. So I have 10 Sky Strikers. There's five, I think, that I'm pursuing. I don't want to pay the sealed box price for a few foreign Sky Strikers when I need them open in nice condition, complete, preferably with a blueprint. Don't need a box. But that's 10 Sky Strikers. This one, it fits that wheelhouse. It fits that perfect, you know, addition. I went for two, gives us a couple to play with, one to display with the others, and then one to display on the nice stand that it comes with. I'm excited for it. I'm happy for it. At this point, I'm just rambling. I'm excited. Congratulations, Hasbro. I'm glad you got one, so congratulations to you for ordering two of them. I guess, you know, 18 months from now, we're going to be flying some Sky Strikers.
I'm interested to see where things roll out. I'll be excited to see if they continue to work in new concepts. And I know that you're right there, too. I think I'd be more excited about the reintroduction of O-Ring as a whole if it was new things.
You know where I'm at on the new things subject. I want the new versions and I want the new things. And even though it's not new, I do look at this Night Force Ripcord and think, if they're introducing a Night Force O-Ring and we have a Sky Striker, when it comes to a shelf release, could we get a Boomer? Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.